Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Cryptids in Your Backyard. This is a podcast about cryptids, paranormal activity, UFO sightings, and anything that is strange and or unusual. If you've had something strange and or unusual happen to you, please contact me. You can contact us on Instagram, The Cryptids in Your Backyard, Facebook, The Cryptids in Your Backyard, and email, thecryptidsinyourbackyard@mail.com. And if you're wondering why we're laughing, you can hear Ella having the hiccups in the background.
I hate the hiccups.
Ella is my co-host tonight. I am your host, Jeffrey Jameson, and Ella is the co-host. And she has a bad case of the hiccups for like the third time today.
Hick down.
Ella, how are you doing?
Horrible.
Why?
Because I got the hiccups for the third time today. I hate the hiccups.
Maybe you need to drink some water. Did you try drinking water?
I did drink water today.
No, I mean, did you drink water when you have the hiccups?
No.
They say drinking water helps, or trying to guess what color they are.
We already tried that.
That didn't work. So anything new and or exciting happen to you?
No.
Nothing new?
Not a single thing.
Not a single thing happened today?
No.
Oh, it's Easter.
Oh, I forgot.
So big happy Easter or Ishtar or the pagan fertility, happy Passover, whatever it is that you celebrate or do for this weekend. Have fun. That's all. Just have fun doing it. You can go out searching for Sasquatch. That's always like an Easter egg hunt. Ella's dying.
I hate the hiccups. That's like one of the things that I hate so much. Like, I'd rather have a splinter in my foot than have the hiccups.
Is it as bad as having a sharp needle shoved through your nose?
It's worse.
Is it worse?
Worse.
Well, news, Ella got her septum pierced today.
Yes.
Looks pretty good.
Yep.
If you're into that, I'm not into that, but it looks good on you.
Now I know how you feel.
Well, I'm not into septum piercings or piercings.
Yeah.
But it looks good. All right. So what else is going on? I got a good Easter story. Are you ready? Are you ready for an Easter story?
If I interrupt you hiccuping, it's not my fault.
Okay, so imagine this. You're a boy of 12 years old. It's the 1960s. You're so excited for Easter, right? You stay awake all night in hopes that you'll see the Easter bunny. You've heard rumors that it's just your parents making a basket for you, but you want to prove everybody wrong. So you stay up all night waiting for the giant rabbit to make its appearance. Then, about 4 a.m., you hear rustling downstairs. It sounds like somebody's in your house. Could it be? Could it be true? The Easter Bunny has arrived to drop off a basket of goodies for you?
No.
No, it's not true?
No, I know what it is.
So you creep down the stairs and you see it. A tall rabbit in your living room putting out an Easter basket. And you watch for a minute. It hides the Easter basket behind the curtain and starts hiding some eggs around the house. And you're like, oh, I got them now. So you creep down the stairs, you reach for the hallway light, you turn it on and you shout, I got you, Easter Bunny. The rabbit immediately screams and starts beating you with a giant carrot that it had tucked in its vest.
I have a situation. You go down, you're like, I caught you. And then he turns around slowly. No witnesses.
No witnesses. Beats him with a giant carrot. All the lights come on in the house because you're screaming and terrified and you're getting beat with a carrot. Your parents come running down the stairs. Your dad has a shotgun, but he lets the rabbit go. It was just a misunderstanding. Yep, you thought you were going to be the cool kid and tell all your friends that you caught the Easter Bunny but you were sworn to secrecy, and you can never tell anyone your story.
I would have told everybody.
Until you get older.
I would have told everybody. Every soul I knew, I would tell.
But you're not allowed to.
I would still.
Because bad things would happen to you if you did. All right. That's an allegedly true story. Oh. I don't know, folks. Could be true. Maybe it's not. Maybe it was a CIA cover-up. You know how the CIA... I wonder if he was visited by the Men in Black after that incident. Do you think he was?
Ghost cat.
Ella?
Yes.
What
was the question?
After the Easter Bunny incident, do you think the Men in Black came out?
I think... No.
Bunnies and brown?
No, bunnies and black. I was about to say... Bunnies in black.
Bunnies in brown.
Bunnies in...
Came to interrogate the boy and his family.
No, bunnies in orange.
No, bunnies in brown sounds better.
Why would it be bunnies in brown?
Bunnies because in blue? Bunnies in brown, they like have a brown suit instead of a black suit. It's all
bunnies
brown.
Bunnies in black.
It could be bunnies in black. Okay, so that's our short Easter story. I hope you all enjoyed it. Hopefully, they'll go away soon. I do have some... UFO news.
Wait, Dad. Do you have UFO news?
I do. Ominous cloud seen over Alaska sparks conspiracies. What is the official explanation? I don't know if anybody's seen this, but I caught the pictures of that weird cloud formation in Alaska last week. It happened on Thursday, April 7th. So I will go over the story. I posted some pictures on our Instagram already, but I'll post some more photos of it. It's pretty interesting. It looks really neat. It looks like something is falling from the sky, and it's hard to tell what it is, but it's pretty amazing. So here we go. This is from the Bellingham Herald. And the article is by Mark Price. Updated April 9th, 6:55 a.m. A large worm-like cloud materialized this week over Alaska's Lazy Mountain, igniting conspiracy theories and prompting an investigation and explanation from Alaska state troopers. Oh, sorry. It happened around 7 a.m. Thursday, April 7th. The photos show the streak of smoke resembling everything from a falling meteor to a burning aircraft. Social media explanations included talk of an eruption. I have no idea how they got eruption out of this. I mean, you can literally see it falling from the sky. So it was social media explanations, a crashing UFO, Russian weapon linked to ongoing conflict over Ukraine. We saw this on the way to school this morning as well. Very eerie, Christy Swift wrote on the Palmer Alaska Buzz Facebook. Looks like a meteor. I wonder where it landed, Casey Joy posted. Could it be a satellite? It's so strange, another person said. No wings, Susie noted. Rumors of a possible plane crash eventually caught the attention of Alaskan state troopers and the Alaskan Rescue Coordination Center. There have been no reports of overdue aircraft or ELT activations inciting an aircraft crash. A rescue team on a helicopter flew a mission around the Lazy Mountain area this morning and located nothing suspicious, and there were no signs of crashed aircraft, Alaska state troopers reported. Instead, officials offered a rather simple explanation for the jaw-dropping sight. Further investigations revealed that a large commercial jet was flying in that area around the time that the photos and videos were taken. The aircraft was contacted and reported normal flight operations on its way to JFK Airport in New York. Troopers believe that the photos and video showed a contrail from the commercial jet combined with the rising sun, which together caused a unique atmospheric sight. Man, looking at these pictures, it really looks like something is coming down. I'll post them if you haven't seen it yet, and then you guys can make your own judgment.
Oh yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah.
That human.
I mean, it's crazy. Okay. So commenters on social media immediately began trying to poke holes in the explanation, with some suggesting a government cover-up of a UFO crash and or secret weapons testing. This old swamp gas reflecting light from Venus story, one man wrote. Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy could have come up with a better story than this, another said. But Eddie Zigong, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Anchorage, told the Anchorage Daily News that his best guess is it was just a very vivid contrail. First of all, how thick it is on one side, the bottom left part is much thicker, which is what we expect, he told the newspaper. So that's it. That is the story from the Herald.
I think my hiccups are gone.
The Bellingham Herald. So I will post some pictures of this strange happening, but it's been all over the news. You could just look it up. You know, weird cloud over Alaska and find it. But it was a very interesting thing. I'm not sure what it is. I would lean more towards like meteor. Maybe it, because the way the clouds look like, I would say meteor that has broken up, because it's one big puff, and then at the end, like as it's coming towards the mountain, it looks like it's smaller, turns into smaller pieces. It's so strange. It's the first time I've ever seen anything like it. So I'll post the pictures and you all can judge for yourself and let me know your thoughts on this weird cloud formation. Is it a meteor? Is it a UFO? We just don't know. One thing we know for sure, it's not a weather balloon. Ooh. All right, Ella, you got a story for us?
Yes, I do. Let me get it up. So play rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Oh, it's already up. Okay. This one's long, so I'm probably going to be really sloppy through it because it's super long. And
what is it about?
Tiki, tiki. Whoa. No, tiki, tiki. It tells you where it's from in the story, so I think. Pretty sure. But anyways, to the story. Tiki tiki.
Tiki tiki.
Okay, tiki tiki is a story that happened a long time ago. It was about a young woman who died after falling under a train and being cut in half.
Oh my gosh.
I said that was such horrific. And being cut in half. In life, she was a scary and impressionable girl, and that made her a frequent target of practical jokes. One summer day, cicada season in Japan, so it's in Japan, those jokes went too far, and her companions, seeing her waiting for the train with lost eyes, sneaked up behind her and threw a cicada on her shoulder. Those are like the one bugs that are really loud during summer. Mm-hmm. They're scary.
I'm scared of them too.
Yes. And threw a cicada on her shoulder, making her jump that it ended up on the railroad tracks. So she jumped onto the railroad tracks. Where a speedy Shinkansen, high-speed train tore it in two. Since that day, she had grieved near the stations, seeking to end pranksters like that one. Oh, like the ones who prescient. What's that one?
The ones who
participated.
Participated, yes.
Her death.
Precipitated her death.
Yes. Although she does not hesitate to kill innocent as well. Oh, she kills. Oh. Wow. Since then, it is said that she haunts the nights in the Empire of the Rising Sun, dragging the upper half of his body with his hands.
What?
I thought it was a girl.
It was a girl too.
Dragging the upper half of his body with his hands.
Huh.
Every time she it just moved back to she. Every time she moves, she makes a tiki-tiki sound and cuts people with her weapon.
Oh, what's her weapon?
I don't know yet. She's also known as Knock Knock, Again, the sound she makes when her elbows hit the ground to the floor. Or the girl who moves with her elbows.
Huh.
So since she was cut in half, she has to...
Yeah.
Yeah. They say it carries a sharp saw. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Or a... What's this word?
Sharp saw. Or a scythe.
Oh, scythe.
Scythe.
And so it catches you. It cuts you in half to be equal to her. It is said to chase children who are out alone at night.
Ooh.
Hi, Yuki. There is a story about a young man leaving school late when she heard a noise behind her. Didn't it just say a young man leaving school late when she heard a noise behind her? When he looked back, he saw a beautiful girl sitting in the window. The girl had her arms resting on the window sill and was looking at him. I wonder who it is.
Mm-hmm.
She wondered why she was there, because it was just an all-boys school. It's moving back to boy and a girl.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Anyways, when the girl realized that he was looking at her, she smiled, and suddenly she jumped out the window and landed on the ground outside. The boy realized with horror that the lower half of his body was missing. She made her way towards him.
There's a lot of flaws in this
crawling,
story.
Crawling across the ground, making a creepy sound. The boy was filled with terror and revolution, right? There.
Revulsion.
Revulsion. He tried to run, but from fear he was frozen and could not move. In a matter of seconds, the girl was on top of him. She took out her scythe and sliced him in half to make him one of her own. Very similar to the legend of the Tiki Tiki. It is the legend of Kashima Reiko. I probably made did that so bad.
Reiko?
Kamisha Reiko. I don't know. A girl who was also killed by a train, although she was not divided in two, but simply lost her legs. Since then, they say that he has... That he has been prowling around the toilets looking for victims, knocking on the door and asking the occupant where his legs are. Kashima hopes that the person will tell her that her legs are at Mishin Station. Mishin Station.
Mm-hmm.
And Mishin that Station. She was the one who told him. If the victim responds improperly, Kashima will savagely rip off her own legs. So it's like another one.
Yeah.
Like the same. She'll just rip off her legs.
Yeah.
And maybe like...
attack you with her legs? Yes. Like they were nunchucks?
Yes.
Or sparring sticks or something weird?
Yes.
Okay.
From a very different angle, this legend, like that of Kashima Reiko, constitutes a symbolic projection at the level of oral traditions, of the fear of suffering a particular terrible death. Hence, both Tiki Tiki and Kashima are not content to terrorize, but seek to make others die in the same way. So they want someone else to feel their pain.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Although these situations are, as can be well intuited, oh my god, Yuki. Or ghost cat, same thing. Intuited. Are linked to be a cultural tendency that has passed through a different time and times and places. The tendency to perceive ghosts as evil entities. In any case, these simple explanations do not invalidate the possibility that some Japanese train victims were split in half and subsequently sentenced. So if the reader ever goes to Japan, it would be better not to walk alone at night in the train stations, because he could see a party of ghosts crawling, and if he is near the train tracks, the scare would be enough to make him fall, become one more Tiki T.
Tiki T. Tiki T.
That sounds confusing, but anyways.
Huh.
It is said that children who play in the evening and lose track of time are already in danger of suffering from the presence of this strange entity. And that is all. There's photos of the Tiki Tiki.
Oh, can you send them to me so I can post them?
Yeah, I'm going to look up photos
here. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, what an interesting story. So that was a tale from Japan about the Tiki Tiki?
Tiki Tiki.
Tiki Tiki.
Tiki Tiki.
Tiki Tiki.
Tiki Tiki.
Tiki Tiki. Tiki Tiki. How horrible, horrifying is that?
Yeah, I don't think they want to kill, obviously, but they're mourning.
Yeah, they're mourning their death.
About their death.
Yeah, but they want to conflict the pain that they're feeling onto others, especially since she was like kind of bullied into it. She was being made fun of and
this is a cool one.
All that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, send that to me.
Yeah.
Wow. That was really good. I did not know what your story was going to be about today, so I'm glad that you kept it secretive to yourself about the Tiki Tiki, because I enjoyed that story.
Yes. I've never heard it before. Something new.
Yeah.
You can just look up photos, too. You'll find it. But that's pretty cool. If you want to look at photos, it's just T-E-K-E, two times.
T-E-K-E, T-E-K-E.
Tiki Tiki.
Where'd you get the story from?
I saw a video about it on TikTok. I was like, oh, that's a cool video.
And then you looked up the story?
I looked up the story.
Nice. Well, who was the writer of the story? Does it say where it's from?
Let me check. Okay, it's from Monster Wiki.
Oh, it's from Monster Wiki. Okay.
Fandom.
So somebody wrote it in.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Stop it.
Is the cat bothering you?
He's like going with his paw.
The ghost cat is here.
I've been getting bug bites. It's already bug bite season.
I know.
How could this be happening?
Well, let's see. It snowed last Saturday, but there was no snow this week. It was really nice yesterday.
What do you want?
It was really nice today.
It was really nice today.
Yeah, nice spring day. So that's what's going on. That was a great story. Yes. Now I'm going to share my story with you. And my story is another Appalachian story. It's a pretty good one. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a tale from Appalachia. This is an Appalachian folklore story. It's called the Talipo. Other versions are the tailbone, Talibones, Talipu, and there's a variety of versions of the story, but I just picked one out to share with you all. It's Appalachian folklore, so here we go. There was an old man who lived alone in the middle of the forest. He must have been 60 years old if he was a day. But nobody knew his real name. Most folks called him Old Jake. He had three loyal hunting dogs that kept him company on his long, lonely nights. Their names were I Know, You Know, and Calico. He lived in an old cabin that he built himself, way back in the deep, dark woods. It wasn't very big, but it was just enough for him and his dogs. The cabin only had one room in it, and that was his bedroom, his living room, his dining room, and his kitchen, too. At one end of the room, there was a nice big open fireplace where he could cook his suppers and warm his bones on the cold winter nights. Old Jake loved hunting, fishing, and the great outdoors. He had a little garden where he planted vegetables, and he would go out every day to hunt for rabbits and fish. During the warm months, there was more than enough food to go around. But in the colder months, it was hard to keep his belly full. One cold winter night, the old man's stomach was grumbling, but there was nothing to eat in the cupboards but a few moldy potatoes. He stoked the fire in the fireplace to keep the cabin warm, and he went to bed. He was just about to fall asleep when he heard something in the room. Excuse me, my allergies have been crazy. He opened his eyes just in time to see a shadow creeping across the wall. When he sat up in bed and peered into the darkness, his eyes grew wide in terror. Sitting across the room from him was the weirdest looking creature he had ever seen. It was short and stubby, with pointed ears and bright yellow eyes that seemed to burn with some strange fire. Its body was covered in black fur, and it had big, sharp claws and a long, thick tail.
What?
For a moment, Jake just sat there, frozen in fear. He stared at the hideous creature, and it stared back at him. Then, quick as a flash, he grabbed his hunting knife and lunged at the thing. It sprang up and scurried out the hole that it had clawed its way in from the cabin wall. The thing was fast, but so was Jake. A split second before it escaped, he brought his knife down squarely on the big cat's tail and cut it clean off. The creature let out a horrible screech and disappeared into the night. Old Jake was left standing there with a long, thick tail in one hand and a bloody knife in another. Jake was about to throw the tail outside when his stomach started to grumble again. He was famished with hunger, so he took the tail, cleaned it, cooked it, and ate it for his supper. It tasted a bit strange, but there was a lot of it, and it was very chewy. In fact, it kind of tasted like chicken. With his stomach full, old Jake plugged the hole in the cabin wall with some old rags and newspapers. Then he got back into bed and drifted off to sleep. He hadn't been asleep very long before he was awakened by a strange noise. It sounded like something was trying to scratch its way into the cabin. The old man thought that if he stayed really quiet, the thing might go away. He could hear it, scratch, scratch, scratch. But then a strange voice outside hiss. Telepu. Telepu. I want my telepu. He thought he must be imagining things. Then he heard it again. Telepu. Telepu. I want my telepu.
He wants his telepu. Give him his telepu.
Old Jake jumped out of bed, ran to the front door and threw it open. He called out his dogs. I know. You know. Calico. Get over here. The dogs came tearing up to the cabin and ran around barking and sniffing and snarling, but they couldn't find a thing. Jake shrugged his shoulders and went back to bed again. He was just about to drift off to sleep when he heard the noise again. This time the scratching sound sounded like it was at the window. Whatever it was, it really, really wanted to get in, but the scratching seemed to be on two walls at one time. Then he heard the strange voice again, and this time it hissed a little louder. Telepu! Telepu! Where is my telepu? Old Jake, who wasn't one to frighten easily, was getting a little shaky. This was getting really weird. So he eased to the window and called, I know! You know! Come Tico Calico! Come on over! Hey-ya! And see what's scratching at my house! The three dogs bounded up to the porch and they sniffed around and barked and sniffed, but they never found anything at all. Jake decided to stay up for the rest of the night to protect himself, his dog, and his little cabin. So he pulled a chair next to the fireplace, grabbed a blanket from his bed, and settled in for the rest of the wind-chilled, wintry night. Sleep soon overtook him, and once again he dozed off. It was almost dawn when Jake woke with a start. The sound of scratching seemed to be reverberating from every area of the cabin. Jake searched frantically for his axe, his rifle, or something to defend himself. But he was so frightened, he couldn't find anything. The scratching grew louder and louder. Telepo! Telepo! Give me back my telepo! Jake yelled back, leave me alone! I ain't got your telepo! Then he called his dogs, but this time the dogs didn't come. He waited and waited, but still not one dog came running. Jake had never been so scared in his life. He ran to his bed and jumped in. The scratching in the voice grew louder and louder and louder. Well, they're going louder, so I'm assuming they were getting closer. I don't know what happened to the dogs. Telepo! Telepo! Give me back my telepo! Jake yelled back as loud as he could, I ain't got no telepo, so why don't you leave me alone and go on about your business? I ain't never hurt nobody or nothing, just leave me alone. The scratching seemed to be inside the house now, and the voice was so loud it was deafening. Telepo! Telepo! You took my telepo! Now I'm back to get it! Give it to me now! Jake pulled the covers up over his head and stayed as quiet as he could. But the scratching now was inside the cabin. Telepo! Telepo! You better give me back my telepo! Jake then felt something scratching up the bottom of the bed and onto the cover. Jake eased the cover down to see what was steadily approaching. Then he saw it. A short, stubby creature with pointed ears, fat feet, with long claws and bloodshot red eyes that glowed in the dark, eyes that seemed to burn straight through him. Before he could pull the cover over his head again, the thing pounced on his chest, looked straight down at him, and said, you got my telepo, and you better give it back to me now. Jake yelled, I ate it! I ate your telepo! It's gone! And that thing started to scratch and claw and tear away at poor old Jake, trying to get that telepo back. Jake tried to fight back, but that thing was too strong, and those claws were too sharp. Jake's screams echoed through the dark mountains, then stopped, leaving a chilly silence. After a month or two without hearing from old Jake, the townspeople got worried and came looking for him. They hiked up the mountain and through the forest, but when they reached his cabin, they found it had been torn to shreds. There was no sign of Jake or the dogs. They searched the woods and called out to them, Jake, I know, you know, Calico. But there was no answer. Old Jake and his dogs were never seen again. The townspeople say that if you are alone out there at night and you listen carefully, you can hear a strange voice calling on the wind. Telepo! Telepo! Now I've got my telepo. That's it.
What?
That's it. That's how the story ends.
Wow.
So I guess the thing shredded Jake to pieces and got his telepo back. And there's many different versions of the story. I've read about four or five different versions. There's a short movie. It's actually a children's book that's out too.
What?
So yeah. So it's a pretty popular folklore. But they say that if you do some research, you can find out where it actually took place or the place that they're talking about and all this. I didn't research it that much, but I just really enjoyed the story and I wanted to share it with our audience because I love about the Appalachian folklore and all things about it. It's pretty awesome. What did you think of the story?
I liked it.
Yeah, what was your favorite part?
When they were all like Taylor Poe.
When the dogs died. This story, it sounds like the tail was furry. Other stories say that the tail was like almost like a possum's, where it was pink and very meaty. This story said there was rotten potatoes in the cupboard. Or other stories that I read said it was a handful of beans, and he actually cooked the beans with the tail. Other stories go where he says he can hear the cat, you know, scratching at the house, but he calls his dogs, and the dogs chase it into the woods, but only one dog comes back. Or first, you know, three dogs go out and two come back. Then the second time, two dogs go out, one come back. Then the last time, one dog goes out and doesn't come back. And then the thing is in his house.
Why would he send the dogs back out if they kept on not coming back?
Oh, I don't know. But other variations of the story, he cut the tail off. It scratched a hole through the floor. And he cut it off with a hatchet, chasing the beast around his cabin. And it jumped back through the hole in the floor, and he was able to cut it off with a hatchet. And then other stories say it ran up the chimney, and he actually shot a gun at it and shot the tail off. So, yeah, there's many, many variations of this story. But it's such a fun story, such a good folklore story. I wonder where it actually originated from and how they came up with it. What if it was a true creature out there?
That'd be crazy.
That was just hungry, and maybe it was just a regular cat, you know, that clawed its way into the house, and he ended up eating its tail, a regular cat tail, and just some folklore was made up about it. On that note, I did also want to share some Appalachian superstitions that I came across. This is everyday Appalachian superstitions, so.
What was that kind of meow?
It's pretty fun, some of the superstitions that they believe in. And I've seen a lot of people around here actually do these things. Always leave a building through the same door you entered in. So that means you would never exit out of a different door. So like if you were going to Walmart and it was or something, a big store where it's exit, you have to enter in through one side and exit out the other side. But you would actually have to leave through the same door that you came in.
Why is that? Like, what would
happen? It's a superstition.
I know, but like,
it doesn't say what would happen, but it would probably be bad luck too, maybe. If you see a black cat crossing the road in front of you, draw an X in the air three times to avoid the bad luck. But you got to be fast, because you have to finish before the black cat reaches the other side of the road.
Huh.
Get it? So if you see a black cat crossing the street, you got to draw three X's in the air before the cat gets across.
And what happens if the cat gets across?
Then you get bad luck. When you harvest apples from a tree, leave at least one apple to keep the devil away. So you got to leave at least one apple. Don't take them all. If you spill salt, throw a pinch over your left shoulder.
I've heard that before.
Again, this keeps the devil away. Apparently, the right shoulder won't work. It's got to be your left. If you're drinking spirits, pour a little out on the ground to satisfy spirits past, the ghostly kind. So that's saying if you're drinking like liquor, you pour some out on the ground for the spirits.
Yeah.
Spirits on spirits. Okay. For good luck in the coming year, open your front and back doors at midnight on New Year's Eve to let out the old year, to let the old year blow out, and the goodness shall come in through the front door.
Hmm.
So that is self-explanatory. New Year's at midnight, just open up your both doors, open up your front door and your back door, let the goodness in and let the badness out.
Well, we have two doors.
Yeah.
But yeah, what if you only have one door?
Let's see. It's bad luck to walk across graves.
Like on them?
Yes.
That's what We never walk on a grave anyways.
Right. We never do. It's just out of respect.
Yeah, that's just out of respect.
Yeah. Okay, when someone died, you stop the clocks to mark the time and prevent another death. I'm not sure how long you have to wait to start the clocks again. That's kind of hard with cell phones today.
Yeah.
They just keep going and going. Deaths were thought to come in threes. If two people died reasonably close together, someone would always predict a third. If you hear a screech owl at dusk, someone will die.
What?
Yeah.
I've heard so many screech owls. I know. At dusk. People die every second, but
it's bad luck to walk across graves. We helped mow the church cemetery when I was growing up, so I've stepped on many a grave.
Well,
I try not worrying about this one.
We've been stepping on graves a lot, like without realizing it, because there's buildings on top of where people used to be buried too.
There could be, but
really old.
Yeah, but they're supposed to move. Like if you build a building or build houses or something like Poltergeist when they were building them on the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And you just moved the tombstones. You never moved the bodies. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see. Pregnant women aren't supposed to look at a corpse lest their child be marked. Marking could be in a form of a physical mark or a deformity, or might be a mental deficiency or illness. Setting an empty rocking chair in motion signifies death. This one feels like a lovely metaphor, more than a superstition, although I've been told by ladies of a certain age and more than one occasion, stop rocking that empty chair. And my favorite, bees carries the news of death. I'm not sure how they tell, but I like to imagine it's with a whisper from their wings.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's some Appalachian folklore. Some Appalachian superstitions, I'm sorry, for everybody. Some are pretty interesting. I'm pretty sure that there's a lot more out there.
Oh, yeah.
This was just a short, the short version.
Short version.
Yeah, of the Appalachian superstitions.
Yep.
What say you? Do you have any superstitions that you follow?
I mean, don't walk under a ladder, but I always do it on purpose.
Do you want bad luck? Sometimes, because I'm in construction, we have ladders set up all around the house. We've been, you know, if we've been working on siding or something, and you can't help but walk underneath the ladder.
Yeah, I don't know about the ladder one. I don't know.
Well, it could be more like a safety issue, too.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Some of these things you have to think about. Let's see. I don't know. I can't think of any. Oh, don't step on cracks.
Why not? I
always in the sidewalk. Cracks. You're not supposed to. It's supposed to be bad luck. Breaking a mirror is 7 years bad luck.
Breaking a mirror, I feel like, is bad luck.
Well, you're unlucky already because you broke the mirror. You probably didn't want to break the mirror.
I broke a mirror?
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that you did it, but it's unlucky that the mirror broke to begin with. You know what I mean?
So that's your first.
You're like moving a mirror or something and it accidentally breaks or you accidentally drop it. So that's the start of your bad luck.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it starts pretty early on.
Yeah. Yep. By not stepping on a crack.
Did you know? I just found this out.
What's that?
When you swallow gum, it doesn't stay in your stomach for 7 years.
It gets digested.
Yep,
I think that's an old wives' tale. Old wives' tale. They used to tell kids to not swallow their gum.
Now I get why they said it. They'll be stuck with you for 7 years because they didn't want you swallowing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I was told not to swallow seeds when I was a kid, like watermelon seeds. Yeah. You're supposed to spit them out. It's probably hard on your digestive system. And they're like, yeah, don't eat those watermelon seeds or you'll grow a watermelon plant will start coming out of your stomach. Weird things like that.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be at the WNC Bigfoot.
What's that?
Festival. What's the that? WNC Western North Carolina Bigfoot Festival in Morgan, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a booth set up there with Mystic Tea has a podcast. It's pretty good. If you're into what kind of podcast is it really?
I'm not sure.
Well, you just gotta check it out. It's Medium Pasha. She hosts it with a friend of hers, so it's worth looking into, definitely. And I was also invited to the Gathering Music Festival at Paint Rock Farm. That's going to be taking place in June. I think it's June 3rd, 4th, and 5th to do some storytelling.
There you go.
Of the area. So
you can do the Tiki Tiki.
We could do the Tiki Tiki, but that's a Japan one. I'd rather do all Appalachian stories because we're here in Appalachia.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I might, I haven't committed myself to that yet, but I'm still thinking about it, and I probably will because I think it'll be just a lot of fun. Yeah, so that would be great. What do you think?
I think that's a good idea.
Remember, we were supposed to do it last year, but it was canceled because of COVID. But we're going to do like casting, print casting, and stuff like that. So I got to see what we would do this year. If it would be the same thing, they're going to set us up by the
children area.
No. No.
That's what I thought. Only
since September. So, I mean, a few months. Half a year. Yeah. Yeah, this was in June. So we have been doing it for like 10 months. July, August, 9 months. Not bad. But I'm still thinking about that one. I think I'm going to do it. And we'll just go from there. And then what else is coming up? Anything that we know of?
I don't think so.
You're just doodling away.
Yep.
On what?
I don't know.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you know, you can get in touch with us through Instagram.
Through Instagram, Facebook, or
Email. The cryptids in your backyard at mail. It's not Gmail. It's the cryptids in your backyard at mail.com. We do have stickers left. So if anybody wants a sticker, I shall post them. Please send me a message through email or Instagram Messenger or Facebook, and we'll get them right out to you. We've sent out plenty already, but we still have some left. And or if you're ever in Hot Springs, you can go to the Artisan and pick one up in person.
I don't think people think they're free.
They probably don't because they're just there stickers. But there are a lot missing. I had a sign out, but somebody took it down. I don't know who took it down.
I mean, it needs its own little area because they might think all the stickers are free. Well, you'll say like Cryptids in the Backyard podcast stickers.
Free. That's what I made.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to the sign. I don't know if somebody stole it or if one of the employees took it.
Probably someone
off.
They didn't think it was free.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't, but they never ask. There's no price or anything on it. But they are free. And, if you enjoy our show, you know, give us a rating on whatever you're listening, whatever platform you're listening to. I know Spotify does the ratings. It only takes a second to rate us. You know, only if it's 5 stars and above. If it's a 1-star rating, just email me and tell me how we can change the show and we'll make it better. You got to remember, this is a free podcast.
And tell us who's the funniest.
Oh, yeah. Please. And tell us who's the funniest. Just Ella is dying to know who is the funniest.
Please. Just email. Not even. Just comment on our...
I'll have to post it on the stories.
Please.
Who is the funniest? Message. Is it Molly? Is it Ella?
Yes.
Or is it...
The star your host, of the show.
Jeffrey Jameson.
Or is Emma, it the star? Right here?
It could be the Bigfoot behind us.
Let him have a few words.
Cat's got his tongue.
God. No. What's that one that will cry until it disappears?
The squonk.
The squonk's got your tongue, Bigfoot? See, I told you I'm the funniest. on a podcast.
Why would the squonk gotta have his tongue?
Exactly.
Point I don't know. All right. Yeah, let us know who's the funniest. Friends. And maybe we'll do a a questionnaire. A questionnaire. If you want stickers, please message us. And if you listen to us and like us, please rate us and let us know how we're doing. That would be totally awesome. And I think that's going to wrap it up. You have any closing words?
Yes.
What are your closing words?
You can have a tree as a friend, or, that's by Bob Ross, by the way, or, oh, no, I messed that up so bad. Okay, never mind. I'm going to redo that. Are you ready?
Bigfoot has a tree as
it's
a friend.
It's okay to have a tree as a friend, or it's okay to have a squonk as your friend.
It's okay to have a squonk as your friend.
If you want to be creepy, it's okay to have a tiki tiki as a friend.
If it doesn't rip you apart.
Well, once it rips you apart, then you're friends.
Then you're friends.
Who else is going
to Why would you want to be friends with it after it ripped you apart?
Well, who else are you going to be friends with?
Exactly. What do you mean? I don't want to be friends with the person that murdered me. Even if it's in the afterlife. No. I would be seeking revenge.
I would be like, boy, well, what are you going to do to him?
I don't know. Make his ghost life miserable.
I would be like, boy, why would you do that? Wanna be friends now?
Maybe be like, yep, I murdered you so we could be friends in the afterlife forever.
Definitely not so you could feel my
What if they're like, I like your style and just wanted to be friends with you forever?
I would have been like.
And they're kind of clingy and they're like, I'm never gonna leave your side. We can go haunt this train station forever.
I'd be like, okay.
All right. Well. I hope everybody had a lovely Easter weekend and enjoyed themselves. I hope it was beautiful surroundings for everybody, beautiful weather for everybody. I know we had great weather here, so it was really, really amazing weekend.
Hot springs.
In hot springs, yes, it was amazing. And until next week, I hope everybody enjoys themselves. Have a great week, people.
Bye.